Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
You're listening to A Slice of Cheese with Jenny Linford on Food FM. Savour the crunch of Peter's Yard sourdough crackers. Available at Tesco, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrisons, Ocado, Amazon and specialist food retailers.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.
Hello, welcome to A Slice of Cheese, the Food FM radio series that celebrates the world of cheese. I'm Jenny Linford, a food writer and cheese enthusiast, the author of Great British Cheeses. Cheese is a delicious and fascinating food, and we're setting out to explore this remarkable food and share the stories of the people who make, sell and love it. Cheese has been an important foodstuff in the Mediterranean world for many centuries. For an insight into the region's cheeses and how they are eaten and enjoyed, we talked to Panos Manouilides, founder and managing director of Odyssey, a company which imports and distributes foods from the Mediterranean, and Turkish food writer Özlem Warren, whose latest cookbook, Sebze, celebrates Turkish vegetarian cuisine.
Online, on smart speakers, and on Listen Again, this is Food FM.
This week, on A Slice of Cheese, we're looking at cheese in the Mediterranean, and I have the perfect person to talk to me about that, because I have Panos Manouilides, who's founder of Odyssey, a company which is a food distributor of Eastern Mediterranean foods. Hello, Panos.
Hello.
Panos, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us again. So I thought you'd be the perfect person because I wanted to learn more really about the cheeses of Greece. For a British audience, I think if you say Greece and cheese, we would always think of feta. That is a key cheese, isn't it?
It is a key cheese. So worth mentioning that Greece is the number one country in the world per capita in the consumption of cheese. We consume about 25, 26 kilos per person per year. 14 to 15 kilos of that is feta. So, and feta is obviously a very strong brand because, you know, Greek salad is directly associated with feta. Of course, feta goes beyond Greek salad and has many purposes. So it can be eaten as a table cheese. It's used in cooking, pies, you name it. It's there as, you know, an accompaniment to ouzo or drinks or all sorts of things like that. It's popular all over the Mediterranean, not just Greece. It is very popular.
Right.
Similar cheeses, but made with cow's milk, which of course cannot be called feta because feta is now a PDO and therefore it can only be made. If it's feta, it's made in Greece and it has to be made with Greek milk.
Right. So that's the protected designation of origin, the PDO,
correct.
It's very important because it does protect the association of cheese and place, doesn't it? And a history and a way of making it. I mean, it's very interesting. But as you say, there are similar cheese. I mean, is the characteristic of feta that it's a brined cheese? Is that correct?
Not necessarily.
Right.
It is a brined cheese. It is, but there are two versions. So there is a feta which is produced in brine in a tin, in a metal container. That's what the legislation says. And there is also feta, which is produced in a barrel, in a beech barrel. And we call it barrel-aged feta. And when we say barrel-aged feta, we do not mean that we take feta from a tin, put it in a barrel and let it age. That is not the right thing. Barrel-aged feta starts the maturation in the barrel. So it, when it comes out in different molds, triangular molds. It is snugly fitted inside the barrels in layers by someone, by a specialist, and then it matures in its own, not brine, but liquids that produces as it matures. And to keep it nice and moist and creamy, you have to roll the barrels on their side, take them for a walk every few days, all the liquids can circulate inside the barrel to keep the cheese moist.
That's interesting. So it's quite a labour-intensive way then of, I mean, I've started to see barrel-aged feta in British supermarkets. And it costs more, I think. I mean, that's my impression I get. But that's partly because there's work in that process then. Yeah?
There is work. I am not entirely sure about the feta on the British supermarkets. It has to be, what you need to look out for is that what you are buying, which is called barrel-aged feta, is not rectangular.
Uh-huh.
If it is rectangular, then it is probably ordinary feta produced in a tin, which has then gone in a barrel to get some flavor. You know, because the barrels are round.
Yes.
So unless someone has managed to square the circle, then it cannot be rectangular.
Right. And so the barrel-aged feta, Panos, would that be used in a different way in Greece? Would if I was someone in Greece buying it, loved the lovely round barrel-aged feta, would I be using that as a table cheese rather than as cooking? Is there a distinction in how the two types of feta are used?
No, it's a question of taste. Some people prefer barrel-aged. Some people prefer the feta produced in a metal container. They can both be very good. And usually the feta that matures in a metal container matures at a lower pH. So it's slightly more tangy.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, fascinating. And Paris, I want to just pause there and ask you, how many years ago did you found Odyssey?
I started it in 1991, 10th of January 1991.
Oh, congratulations. So what I was going to ask you was, in that time, has there been an increase in the UK of interest in feta?
Feta came later. I started doing feta in 1996.
Right.
Now it is in terms of turnover, it's probably my biggest.
Amazing.
There is a huge understanding of what feta is. People understand good quality feta as well.
Yeah.
Of course, in the summer, sales are double because it's considered to be a summer cheese.
Yes.
More, because we make it with salad and all that. And there is, it is one of the fastest growing cheeses in the UK.
Isn't that fascinating? I mean, I think, you know, I love going to Greece for holidays and I love eating Greek salad on my holidays. And so I can sort of see the association, you know, of feta and sunshine and tomatoes and cucumbers and olive oil. You know, it's a very beguiling, isn't it? But it is amazing when you stop and think about it, how widely used feta is in cooking in Greek cuisine, isn't it?
Yes, but in Greek cuisine, it is used, you know, people eat it for breakfast. Then, you know, they make probably the most popular creation is what we call tiropita or stakopita. Yeah. And it is used in that. And if you go to Greece, in every corner, you're going to find a place that sells tiropita and spanakopita, which is basically a pie. It's with phyllo pastry. So it's phyllo pastry with something in it. It's pita, is the same root as pizza or pide in Turkish. So all these things, what are they? They are a good way to take something small, expensive, and make it go a long way. Okay, so what is pita? It's the Greek pizza. It's but it's not convertible. It's closed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, very interesting point. So we've spoken about feta, which, as I said, you know, I think is for British people, it's seen as the quintessential Greek cheese, and I think for Greeks too. But you know, what I wanted to ask you, Panos, was about other cheeses in Greece. Perhaps you could take me on, you know, tell me what are the other key Greek cheeses?
So there are many hard cheeses as well in Greece. The most, you know, I would mention the most popular or mainstream ones are Graviera, which is a method similar to Gruyere. And it is made on the mainland as well as on the islands. The most well-known ones are the Cretan Graviera, which is sheep's milk. Then you have Naxos Graviera, which is another island in the Cyclades complex of islands, which is made from cow's milk. And then there is also some made in the mainland, particularly in the west country. Right.
And it's a hard cheese, is it?
Yeah. And it's a hard cheese. And it is, you know, the Cretan and the Naxos Graviera are really nice cheeses if they are aged properly. Sometimes aging is not a priority because there is such a high demand in Greece that supermarkets are, you know, taking whatever they can get their hands on, and producers do not have the incentive to mature the cheese. But if you find one which is properly matured, that is a great, would be a great cheese.
And is that, would that be eaten as a table cheese, Panos, or the Graviera? Yeah.
It is. Graviera is a table cheese. Then you have Casseri, which is a pasta filata cheese.
Right.
So you first make the pasta filata, and then you make as a second stage the cheese itself. It's a cheese that melts completely with heat, very similar to Cascaval. And that cheese, again, is a PDO. Graviera is also a PDO.
With the two milks are protected, are they? The two different milks you mentioned?
Yes. So that is Casseri is made in Thessaly in the north and Macedonia, these areas. It is made, so there are some tribes in Greece, if you want to call them tribes. So there are Sarakatsani are a tribe, an ancient tribe of shepherds. And they were traveling the mountains. They are usually feta manufacturers. The other ones are the Vlachs, and the Vlachs are they of Romanian descent. And they are usually manufacturers of hard cheeses. Casseri is one of them.
Right.
Then you have Kefalotiri, which is like a pecorino, Romano.
Is it sheep's milk as well?
Or? Sheep's milk, yes.
Right.
Sheep's milk as well, pecorino. So pecorino is a sheep's milk.
Yeah.
Kefalotiri is something similar to that. Again, not matured in quite the same way. It's not the same cheese, but it's quite similar. And then there is one called Kefalograviera, which is, I guess, a cross between Graviera and Kefalotiri. It became also a PDO recently. That was developed in Epiros, which is the northwest part of Greece near the Albanian border. And it was in the town of Ioannina. And it was developed originally by one of the biggest dairies in Greece called Odoni.
Quite recently? What, in the 20th century? You know, how long ago?
In the 20th century, yes. And then in the process of making cheese, you separate the solids from the liquids, and the liquid is the whey. And then we have a range of whey cheeses.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
And there are some words that are used for different cheeses, that they are the same word. So let's start. The one is Mizithra. So let's talk about mainland Greece to begin with. In mainland Greece, Mizithra is a byproduct of feta. So you take the whey, you boil it. As you boil it, the solids come to the surface.
Right.
You scoop them out. Yeah. You put them in a cloth, traditionally. You strain them.
Yeah.
That is Mizithra.
Okay, so it's and a soft, fresh cheese,
and
then
you can dry that, and you can make a dried Mizithra as well, which they grate on pasta. And that's from the way of feta.
Right.
If in that process you add milk, that is called anthotyro. If in that process you add fresh sheep's cream, that is called manouri.
Oh, that's manouri. Oh, how interesting. Okay. I had realized.
And so manouri is also a PDO from Thessaly and Macedonia. Mizithra is not. Now, if we go to Crete, though, Mizithra is a different thing. Mizithra is actually a cheese that is fresh. And they take the milk, they add rennet and culture it. You know, within, a couple of days, it's ready.
Right. Gosh.
Ready to eat. Okay. And that is, we call it savory Mizithra, the one we sell, because we need to distinguish somehow.
Yes. It's quite complicated.
They also make the other version that we talked about before, the one made from feta. So they make that, but not from the whey of feta, but from the whey of graviera. And the whey of graviera is a lot richer than the whey of feta. So it makes really a much better Mizithra. We call it fresh Mizithra. In Crete, they call it anthotyro.
Gosh, okay. This is fantastically complicated. I'm so glad you're explaining it to me, Panos. That's really intricate and brilliant.
And they dry it as well.
Yeah.
And the dried version is extremely popular in Crete because they use it in weddings and festivals, and they boil, particularly on Eastern Crete, they boil goat and sheep and chickens, and they make a very thick broth. And in that, they boil pasta, and then they serve it grated with this cheese. And that is a wedding dish.
It sounds wonderful. Yeah, that sounds rich and delicious.
They have something different.
So are you, Panos, because you are importing foods from Greece, do you import Mizithra into the UK?
We do, yes. So we do.
Is it the Cretan one that you've told me about?
Both of them.
Both of them. So the one made, so the fresh one, but this is from, so this is made from the whey of graviera?
We import the one which is made from the whey of graviera.
Right, okay.
And we import the other one, which is called Mizithra from Chania, but that's a PDO. Or it is called, we call it savory Mizithra.
Right.
Or you can, there are many names for it in Crete.
Yes.
Togalo, Galomizithra, you know, if you go every 5 kilometers in Crete, they will have a different name for it.
Amazing. Gosh. Yeah. What other ways be of eating apart from that dish you just described to me? So the fresh, for example, the fresh one, how would that be? Is that just eating with honey or?
The fresh ricotta, you can eat it with honey.
Yeah.
You can, you can cook with it. You can make cannelloni with spinach and ricotta. It's a great cheese. It has a really fantastic flavor. It's the best ricotta you will ever taste.
Ah, wonderful.
It's a ricotta. I actually am trying to convince the Cretans to rename it. I want to name it Cretan ricotta. Because that's what it is. It's a ricotta.
Yes, it is.
I have a lot of resistance on that because they feel very strongly.
Yeah, they're attached.
Names. Yes.
Yes. I can imagine.
The other one.
Yep.
Is basically the Cretan salad cheese. So in Crete, will eat the main cheese they use with salads is not necessarily feta. Well, they don't produce feta in Crete because it's not in the PDO. But they use that, and it's a creamy cheese, and they just mix it with salad. And also they cook with it. They make little pies called kaltsounia. They make in Chania, in the town of Chania, there is a shop that makes bougatsa. Bougatsa is something which theoretically it's from the north of Greece, from Thessaloniki, which is basically, again, a kind of phyllo pastry. It's not exactly phyllo, which they bake and it's hollow inside, and then they open it and they fill it with something. So in Chania, they fill it with Mizithra. And there is a shop, it's very famous, that makes this, and there are queues outside.
I bet. I'd be queuing if I was there. Sounds delicious. And so, Panos, I'm so interested in your role as someone who is, you're bringing these foods from the Eastern Mediterranean into the United Kingdom to find an audience for them. And I imagine that must take time and patience, and you have to, you know, because if people don't know it, you know, how do you buy something you don't know? And well, I mean, how are you finding the process of bringing, let's say, Misithra, this Cretan Misithra, to the British public? How is that going?
So first of all, you know, of course, we have feta, which is known.
Yes.
And that opens some doors, because then we can talk to people
right.
who are have an interest in cheese, or they are buying cheese or anything like that. And therefore, that makes it a little bit easier in that we can talk, we can present it to them.
Yep.
They can taste it and they like it.
Yes.
And if they like it, then, you know, we can get them to list it. Now, in smaller delis and shops, you know, that's easy because they are more adventurous.
Yeah.
In bigger chains, that is more difficult because the average consumer in the UK wouldn't have a clue what Misithra is,
yeah.
or let alone the other words like Galo Misithra or anything like that.
Yes.
You know, that is, you know, uncharted territory.
Yeah.
So buyers would be very reluctant, even though they may yeah. like it. And we
yeah.
just need to get chefs
right.
more than anything else to yeah. start using it.
Right.
And a good example is Manuri. So
yeah.
Manuri got featured by some chefs like Ottolenghi.
I was going to say Ottolenghi, yes.
A few years
yeah.
ago, it was
yeah.
he was using it. People got more aware of it.
Yeah.
And so we managed to list it in Waitrose. And
yeah.
it's been Waitrose for quite a while, and it's doing really well.
Brilliant. It's got a lovely texture when you grill it, hasn't it? It
yes.
keeps a sort of marshmallowy softness, doesn't it?
Okay, but it's... Look, it's a very high fat content, yes, because
yep.
it's cream from sheep's milk.
Yeah.
It is what it is. How do you eat it? Here, they created recipes grilling it.
Correct.
Like you would grill goat cheese and put it on a salad. In Greece, we usually eat it for breakfast with honey.
Ah, lovely.
With honey,
yeah.
but...
you have your wonderful honey in Greece, your yeah. amazing honeys, yeah.
But we can, for example, there's a recipe called cunefe, which usually has a cheese that's stringy. They make it in Turkey,
yeah.
they
yes.
make it in Lebanon and all that. I've read a recipe that uses manuri, and if you make it with manuri, it produces a fantastic result.
Ah.
Because manuri has a high fat content, the higher the fat, the better the taste.
Yeah.
And they grate it with a little bit of lemon zest,
yeah.
sugar, and they put it in between kataifi pastry soaked in butter.
Mm.
And they fry it on both sides, and then
yeah.
they pour honey over it.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's a great dessert.
I mean, that must be quite interesting for you, Panos, because obviously, you know so much about Greece and Greek food, but I suppose what happens when you bring things into the UK is that there's this sort of an experimentation and perhaps when people take things, don't they? I mean, that's a very sort of British story in a way, with ingredients coming in and becoming part of the cuisine, used in different ways, I suppose, from how they would be back. You must see that all the time then.
Yes. And, you know, cuisine is so inventive, changes. And, you know, now we have people travel. So you have fusions and you use ingredients from one country to do a dish which was created in a different country. And all that, you know, is very creative. It's
yep.
evolving continuously. And our job is to find a home for some of these fantastic Greek ingredients.
Yeah. Well, that's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you. I had no idea how intricate the story of Misithra was. So I'm very glad you've explained it to me, Panos. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us again. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
You.
Bye, Panos. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm a huge fan of Peter's Yard's sourdough crackers, and they go beautifully with cheese. All Peter's Yard crackers are made in small batches using quality natural ingredients and their sourdough starter, slowly fermented for 16 hours for award-winning flavour and crunch.
Online, on smart speakers, and on Listen Again, this is Food FM.
You're listening to A Slice of Cheese with Jenny Linford on Food FM. Savour the crunch of Peter's Yard sourdough crackers. Available at Tesco, Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrison's, Ocado, Amazon and specialist food retailers.
This week on A Slice of Cheese, we're looking at cheese in the Mediterranean. And very happy to have with me to talk about this, Oslem Warren, a wonderful food writer and cookery teacher, and the author of Sebze, a book which celebrates vegetables in the Turkish kitchen. Good morning, Özlem.
Merhaba, good morning.
So lovely to have you back on the show. Thank you, Özlem. I wanted to talk to you, Özlem, about cheese in the Turkish kitchen. I can think of there's some dishes that come to mind, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts about what the role that cheese plays in Turkish cuisine.
Absolutely. First of all, many thanks for having me, Jenny. It's always a pleasure to talk about with you. And moreover, cheese. We are a nation of lover of cheese. We call it peynir in Turkish. And Turks being migrated from Central Asia over thousands of years ago with all that effects of different influences with the culinary heritage, and my Indian friends call it paneer, of course. So there is that influences and that you see all through the regional cheeses that we have at home too. And it's so much loved and so much variety that we have.
Interesting. What are the dominant milks? Is it cow's milk that's dominant now in Turkish cuisine?
Yes, indeed. Cow is the dominant milk, but sometimes sheep is used, sometimes goat is used, sometimes a mixture of it used. In a way, the reason why we have so much diversity and this incredible cheese culture at home, Turkey, is I think it's because the type of the livestock really varies greatly due to the geography of each region and the climate changes. And, you know, hence there are so many different types of cheese made from the milk from a variety of animals, really.
Yes. Interesting. Okay. So perhaps what's an interesting way to explore this, Özlem? Should we try and be regional? I mean, are there particular cheese dishes that you'd like to tell me about?
The very most common one is our beyaz peynir, the white cheese, sort of our version of feta, I believe, made from unpasteurized sheep or calf. And sometimes goat milk might be included. It's our salted brine cheese. It's a must on a Turkish breakfast kahvaltı. And it appears in our böreks, savory filo pies. It may appear in the unsalted version, may appear in our sweet bakes. Beyaz peynir is, I think, really the most popular one. But again, in different regions, it might slightly change in taste and texture due to the climate and the livestock and whatnot. There is an unsalted version of peynir, especially in southern Turkey, where I'm from, Antakya. And we use that to make our sweet dessert, künefe, with the shredded pastry and the cheese is added in the middle of the layers and then baked.
I have eaten it and it's such a delicious dessert because the sort of textures are sort of fascinating, aren't they? Because you've got very fine shreds of the pastry. And then this sort of and that lovely sort of cheesy, which I sort of remember as it being slightly sort of had a slightly stretchy quality to it.
Yes, yeah. Almost like a bit of a string cheese too. Yeah. To be honest, and that is actually also referred as dil peyniri. It's our sort of stringy cheese, and almost like I suppose perhaps a little bit similar to mozzarella with the buffalo mozzarella that we get in this country, but it has to be unsalted because it is used in the sweet bakes.
Yep. Because you live in Britain, Özlem, are you able to find these Turkish cheeses that you're telling us about?
Yes, you know, I suppose it's because now, especially in the last 5-10 years, so many Turks live abroad. There's really a lot of online choices. There's a lovely online source called bonvila.com, a Turkish online supermarket. They carry a ton of stuff. But also there's so many other like international ones like Odyssey that I really love. Again, the Greeks and the Italians and the Turks, we all have this Mediterranean influence and love of different variety of cheeses. So not too bad. Some regional cheeses are hard to find. For instance, there is this lovely Antakya's Sürk cheese. It's sort of like dried curdled cheese. special blend, and then we add two spices to it, such as za'atar and as well as tomato paste. And then the mixture is shaped and dried and goes through a sort of short molding phase. And then when you would like to eat it, you crumble up and you drizzle olive oil and then have it with your toasted bread for breakfast in southern Turkey. It really is lovely. And when you go to the eastern part of country, there is another sort of herby cheese in one region. It's called herby cheese, otlu peynir. Again, it really does live up its name because about 25 different herbs that is included in that cheese that is grown in the region in the eastern part of Turkey, and where the sheep milk is also the most abundant, and there's a real grass diversity there.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go to different parts of Turkey, you really are exposed to a variety of incredible cheeses.
Is that just that last one, the herb one, is that a soft cheese then?
Yeah, it's quite a crumbly one. As a matter of fact, one is the one region is so famous for their breakfast. There's a variety of cheese and olives and pastries and honey and clotted cream kaymak made from the milk from the water buffalo. All adore the table, and it really is a feast. I think you have to come to Turkey, Jenny.
I'm longing to, actually. Yes, and every time I talk to you, I'm like, yes, I must go. So, and what I mean to think about cooking with cheese in Turkish cuisine, Özlem. I mean, I was thinking one of the things I love eating is gözleme. Yeah, and that you could. I think I must have had a spinach and cheese gözleme. Is that a traditional combination?
Indeed. Spinach and cheese. There's a lovely one with potato, mashed potato, and caramelized onions and cheese in my upcoming butsebze.
Oh, nice.
Mincemeat and onion filling. To be honest, we are a no-waste kitchen, and there is the leftovers always being repurposed in some way. Any sort of vegetable or filling that I remember that mom had, she might just add some more herbs and whatnot, mm-hmm. or any remaining cheese she had, and she would add to her böreks or gözleme.
I mean, this is very amazing, sort of stretchy, thin dough, isn't it? And then it has a filling and then another layer of the dough. Sort of, or the dough is folded over, isn't it? To make like a...
It is, indeed.
And then rolled like out. It's
like calzone pizza, I suppose. So
yeah.
Think of a round circle dough. Half of it is filled with filling, and then the other half is folded over, and the edges of the pastry is then pinched to seal. And the ladies cook on a great big such flat ovens in the markets, and that they grate with great ease, and with great ease they flip it over to cook the other side. One of the highlights of our farmers market and pazar for me, to be honest.
I agree.
Always stop at a stall.
Yes, I've got one. I'm just remembering a wonderful holiday in Turkey when our son was little and seeing an old, and it was an old lady making these. And I was like, oh, let me buy one. And it was so delicious, you know, and she made it so deftly and beautiful. And just the texture and the flavour was wonderful. You talked about the boreks again. That's lovely little sort of savoury pastries. So the cheese again would be used as a filling. Would it always be the paneer that we talked about? Would that be the, is that, you know, the cheese that you cook with?
I think that's the most common. But one of the delights that I tried when I was researching for my book Sebze is I went to Black Sea region, Karadeniz. And it's just fascinating, the climate, the landscape, and the variety of butter and cheese there is just incredible. And one of the most popular cheeses in the Black Sea region is something called kolot cheese, K-O-L-O-T, and it is sort of their stringy cheese, and they use it in their breakfast. They cook it with cornmeal, I suppose, a speciality around all that region, you know, Georgia, you know, Black Sea, Eastern Europe. They all love cornmeal there. So they make their version cooking cornmeal, adding the kolot cheese in it. They call it muhlama or kuymak. It is indulgent, rich, but so delicious with the region's really lovely butter. And another speciality they do is their version of pide, our flatbreads, but they make it round. So they add the kolot cheese on top, this beautifully stringy cheese, also regional butter. And then at the last 5 minutes of baking or so, they add a cracked egg and put it in the oven. And that cheese with the egg and that beautiful soft pide is, it was a sensation.
That sounds very good. It must be absolutely fascinating, Roslyn, for you. So for your latest cookbook, Sebze, you were able to do some travelling around Turkey then to do some research then. I mean, it's such a huge country, isn't it? And I think people didn't realise how enormous it is and the variety it contains.
I think we are just scratching it. I was very lucky enough to do some location shoot in Istanbul and then my hometown, Antakya. But during the research, I also went to Black Sea region because we have such diversity and regional cuisine.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we are a lover of vegetables and cheese and grains and all that. So it was just really a privilege, to be honest, to be able to bring all that to the life in a way that folks hopefully will have a little virtual culinary trip to home with the book, but also hopefully they will have a chance to have a go and make it at home.
You're a very good recipe writer, Roslyn, which not everyone, people never realise how hard it is actually to write a recipe, especially if people are cooking something that is unfamiliar to them. But your recipes, I can testify, I've cooked them, they've always worked a treat and been really delicious, which is a great gift. I mean, I can tell that you're a teacher, I think, because I think that comes across with the care that you write your instructions with. You mentioned Istanbul. Are there special, if somebody was visiting Istanbul and was interested, you know, in cheese, in Turkish cuisine, are there things that they should look out for to eat in Istanbul? Things to try?
You know, I think Istanbul is such a melting pot and a kind of really a lovely representation of a different regional cuisine, because it does get migration all through the country. So you would really get a really fine example of Southern Turkish cooking, Black Sea cooking, Asian cooking in Istanbul. I would definitely would love them to really try. I mean, every charcuterie you go will be showcasing different variety of cheese. Of course, definitely Beyaz Peynir, white cheese, as well as its different regional variety. For instance, Ezine Peynir from the Thrace region. It's more creamy, it's a real sharp taste to it. They could have. They might also be able to try the beautiful crumbly tulum cheese, we say. It's all sort of like a dried cured cheese that many varieties can be found Aegean coast or in Anatolia. But again, it's because Istanbul gets so much migration, they could be able to have some of that. There's a real Black Sea community in Istanbul, so I'm sure they will have a chance to try the pide, Black Sea style pide, and have a bit of taste of that kolot cheese. Also, at the eastern part of Turkey, I have to say before I forget, there's a lovely region called Kars on the eastern part of Turkey, and they have this really special Gruyere cheese. It's sort of at the border with Georgia, I think, and you know, and again, it is a, you know, a bit of a cultural journey that started with the settlement of the Moluccans at the Kars Ardahan Plateau during the Ottoman Russian War. And the Ottomans lost the war and Kars fell into hands of Russians, and then started the bringing in different variety of cheeses and that sort of influence. And then apparently there was an important individual named David Mosser, a Swiss cheese producer, and he really liked the geographical structure of Kars and that of Gruyere, and then he established the Gruyere workshop there.
Fascinating.
You know,
yeah,
it really is fascinating.
I mean, it's amazing how that actually, you know, one person with a cheese recipe that teaches and works, and they can go, you know, they can travel somewhere and then get a, yeah, and then you set up this whole new tradition of people
incredible
knowing that cheese, liking it, knowing how to make it, enjoying it, eating it, buying it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and you can find all those examples in Istanbul thanks to the migration that the city gets all around Turkey. Indeed. And also when we think about the dishes, we add cheese to it. Menemen are scrambled.
Oh yeah, my husband's favorite. Yes, yeah, we love that.
I mean, it is like every household almost have their own version.
Sure.
Some are religiously add more onion, some may add cheese, some may not add cheese. Mm. But my family would always add a little bit of beyaz peynir, white cheese to it. Or when we make our shrimp casserole, prawn and shrimp casserole, karides güveç, there's always an element of adding a combination of beyaz peynir, white cheese, as well as our cheddar, kaşar peyniri, or any sort of stringy cheese.
Is it grated? How is it added into the...
It always comes in chunks,
right,
pieces.
Right. So it keeps
grated.
A bit of texture then, and it...
Absolutely.
You're such a wonderful cook. What, if I sort of said, you know, your desert island Turkish cheese dish, what would it be? What would be the one cheese dish, if you could only eat one from Turkey, that you would want to eat?
You know, I am a massive lover of beyaz peynir. It is such an incredible staple in the cuisine, and especially the one in the Ezine region with that really flavorsome, really quite a sharp, tangy side. I have friends who travel with their Ezine peynir when they go somewhere. They just can't live without it.
You have that for breakfast or?
Absolutely. Yeah. We always have slice with breakfast with a drizzle of olive oil. Sometimes you might add a bit of pul biber or smoked Turkish pepper flakes, or Aleppo pepper is also being known. Sometimes I like to add to my egg, whether it's scrambled in menemen or regular, but always have it aside with your bread or with our simit bread, the sesame,
yes,
sesame coated bread rings. Mm. You know, simit and beyaz peynir, very good friends with a cup of
wonderful.
I'm a happy girl.
Yes, no, that's lovely. Oh, well, brilliant, Özlem. Thank you so much for that lovely sort of glimpse of the richness of the Turkish kitchen, actually. So fascinating. Thank you, Özlem.
It's always a pleasure to chat with you, Jenny. I hope to take you to Turkey sometime soon.
Oh, I would love that. You're on. Thank you.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening to A Slice of Cheese. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have enjoyed it, it would be lovely if you could rate us on wherever you've found this podcast. It will make such a difference to us. So I hope you'll enjoy us again. Thank you very much.